Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast by ECFA. This is Michael Martin, and it means so much that you would take time out of your life and your busy schedules to join us, and I promise you, it will be well worth it. Well, this is an extra special podcast for a couple of reasons. Not only are we covering a great topic on growing in financial leadership, but in this podcast, we also want to introduce you to one of the newest members of the ECFA team, Vana Lau, who's joining us for this conversation. We also have an exciting announcement about some big changes here at ECFA that will no doubt be a blessing to many of you who are tuning in as part of our podcast community. We'll share more about that in a few minutes. And of course, as always, you'll be blessed by insights from our very own ECFA president and podcast co-host, Dan Busby. So let's jump right in. Dan and Vana, thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Michael.
Great to be with you, Michael.
All right. Well, hey, I'm looking forward to both of you sharing your insights on today's topic, church financial leadership. But first, we want to extend a very special welcome to Vana and give folks who maybe don't already know you a chance to hear about you and your journey to ECFA. So Vana, tell us a little bit about your background and what excites you most about joining the ECFA team.
Well, I am very excited to be here, and I spent 20 years in public accounting working with Christian ministries prior to coming to ECFA, and I have respected and promoted the work of ECFA for years. I've had the opportunity to cross paths with many of you here through conferences and seminars and different events and venues across the country for a long time, and so I've known about the work and been excited about what you do, and so for me to come here is really fun, but you know, just 30 seconds background as we jump in today, and that is, as I sensed God calling me away from where I was most recently, I argued with him, and I said, I've been there 20 years, can't I just finish? And it was as if he said no, and then I pointed out that that would be economically ridiculous, and it was like he said, so?
Right.
And as I stepped out in faith and stepped away from that and really had some time to reflect on, you know, maybe what he was calling me to next, the word that kept coming to mind was impact. And as I started to dialogue with Dan and those of you at ECFA, it really came to light that I can't think of an organization where I feel like I could have more impact working with organizations, that that's exactly what they're doing. Each one of them has kingdom impact, and we get to work with such a variety of them. So I couldn't be more excited.
All right. And it's, I'd just like to say, it's great to have you on the team, Vana. You're already making an impact, and we have just begun.
That's right. We're already putting you to work with this podcast.
So. That's right. Somebody asked what I was going to do, and I said, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. And they have, be assured.
That's right. So here we are. Well, I just want to quickly set up today's topic for us. We hear a lot about church financial management. Maybe we don't hear about it enough, but that term, church financial management, pretty common. But our focus today on the podcast is sort of taking the next step and reflecting on what does it mean to provide financial leadership in a church and why is it so important. We're also going to hear your thoughts later from both of you on practically how we can grow in our financial leadership. But the first question for both of you is, what does it mean to provide financial leadership in a church? And maybe how is it different from that term financial management that we hear so much about?
Well, I think financial management is really the day-to-day activities, the accounting, the reporting, the bank reconciliations, those things that are on a to-do list that have to move to done. But financial leadership is broader. That's, to me, that's thinking strategically about the church's finances, thinking about how those finances align with the mission of the ministry. It's thinking long-term about the sustainability of the ministry and what planning needs to be done to protect the organization fiscally, as well as being able to pursue future, you know, ministry opportunities that we don't even necessarily know about now. So to me, those are kind of the differences. But Dan, why maybe are we not seeing financial managers be able to demonstrate those financial leadership skills?
Well, you know, Vonna, every time ECFA has surveyed church financial leaders, we get the same response. We are so busy. There aren't enough hours in the day. There aren't enough days in the week. We can barely keep up with our basic responsibilities. And so I think it comes down simply to the tyranny of the urgent. The items that are so urgent press out the potential for financial leadership. So the lack of time, I believe, keeps financial managers from becoming financial leaders. And so somebody might say, well, how do we resolve that? Well, you know, the quick and easy answer would be, well, we need to hire more people, but perhaps there are budget constraints that keep that from happening. And so I would suggest that more often we need to look for volunteers, skilled volunteers in the church that might work for nothing. And perhaps the volunteers stepping up would help solve that problem that we so often see of the urgent matters keeping financial managers from becoming financial leaders.
Well, and I think sometimes, too, we forget that we can delegate. And that can be difficult, but maybe it is the volunteer. But really looking at what are the things that we have to keep. You know, those financial leaders have skills that other people don't, and they need to make sure that they're focusing their time in those areas. And some of the things that they keep on their plate, they do just because it's simpler to do than it is to teach somebody else. But, you know, considering what they can delegate, and then there are, like you said, a number of people in our congregations now, a lot of people that are, you know, early retirement age that have time and have some great competencies that we could easily delegate those things to.
And so those in financial management roles that would like to become more financial leaders perhaps need to be asking themselves, what am I doing today that only I can do, and what should somebody else be doing that I'm spending my time on?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both. Those are some great tips and actually a really good segue into our next question, which is, tell us who in the church has a role to play when it comes to financial leadership.
Well, Michael, that often depends on the church and how they're staffed and how they're organized. It may start with the executive pastor and the particular staff members that relate to that individual. But financial leadership must play a role in the budget setting, in the budget management, in the financial reporting approaches, in reviewing and modifying financial controls at the church, whether the financial systems are adequate, and the like.
So there's really, oh, sorry, go ahead,
Donna. Sorry about that. I would say to take that from that role of the leadership of maybe the day-to-day and overseeing that to the board and senior leadership on the organization team, the board plays a really critical role. And I think one of the things there is that they have a fiduciary responsibility to the organization. And please be aware, I am not saying they should be involved in the day-to-day operations or financial transactions of the organization, but they really do need to play that fiduciary responsibility role seriously and own some of that. If there's a finance committee, they're going to be more involved than the board would be, but still from a removed, you know, level, they're not going to be involved day to day. And then I would say the senior pastor, to me, that's the buck stops there. And there are different personalities and different approaches that senior pastors will take. And some of them don't want to be involved in the finances of the church at all. And I understand that, you know, I want to make sure that people aren't just handing them offering envelopes in the hallway when they see them too, but they need to be very well aware of the finances. They're the CEO, if you will, of that organization. And I can't imagine a CEO that doesn't know the finances of their organization. So the senior pastor needs to be involved and aware and really sets that tone at the top. And tone at the top is so critical. And if they're not engaged in it, and if they don't support the importance of the structures you were just talking about, Dan, the budgeting and the controls and the systems, it's going to be very difficult for that organization to have an importance placed on those at any other level if that tone isn't there.
So to maybe recap, I think what I'm hearing you say is it's a little bit of a combination, right, of a certain element of the higher level staff and then also definitely the board's involvement and maybe even some finance committees or committees as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, our next question here is, you know, just knowing that, you know, you both are definitely seasoned veterans when it comes to church finances, and no doubt you've seen the good, the bad, and probably, unfortunately, the ugly in some cases. Across all these years of experience, speak to what difference have you seen healthy financial leadership make in a church?
Well, I'm still stuck on the seasoned veteran in all these years. I'm concerned about what you've just
said
about us there.
That was a compliment, Donna.
Oh, okay. But it has given us the opportunity to see a lot of things. And I would say, you know, a couple of ends of the spectrum of that question. One, I've worked with some churches over the years who have spent temporarily or designated funds just to cover operations. And the scary part of that is sometimes they didn't even know it.
Hmm.
They didn't have enough awareness of where they were at financially. And that can result in a very difficult financial position that it can take literally years to dig out from under. And at the same time, I've seen organizations where they had really good financial leadership. And one of the things that I've noticed in those organizations is there tends to be almost a calmness or a spirit of freedom in those organizations, because there's not the uncertainty of, can we do this? Or are we going to make budget? Or, you know, am I going to be the next person that's cut? That really doesn't exist there. Opportunities are measured more by their contribution to the overall mission, because they've done a good job of budgeting and having the mission in mind when they did that. So with good leadership, you know, there are often reserves that are available to pursue new opportunities when they come up spur of the moment, because sometimes that happens. Or at least if they come up and we don't have the reserves, everyone knows that, hey, maybe while we can't pursue this now, it's something that we can put in the plan for the future. Because when they're planning well, then that makes that possible.
That's a great comment. I like what you had to say, and just thinking of the importance of, as a church, us mastering our finances versus maybe the finances mastering us. So Dan, maybe tell us a little bit more. Do you have some specific examples that you could cite in terms of just this difference that financial leadership makes in a church?
Well, Michael, I think one of the biggest things that makes for a healthy financial leadership situation church versus the opposite is whether the church has a positive culture relating to its stewardship of resources. We don't really talk about that very much, but understanding the church's stewardship culture and discerning whether it's subject to change will save church staff considerable frustration. You know, the culture relating to financial leadership in a church is either positive, it's maybe negative, or maybe just at the status quo. And that may have happened because of the way the church has managed debt, either positively or negatively, the way that they've been supported by giving, either positively or negatively, or how they've handled expenses. Have they handled expenses in such a way in connection with revenue that they generated proper reserves, or are they all the time running right out to the edge on their finances? And so a positive culture relationship to how a church stewards its finances will generate respect. It will generate trust. And the opposite, the other end of the spectrum, will be the lack of respect, the lack of trust. And so I think the church's culture with respect to financial leadership is such a key.
And maybe speak to, Dan, because I know there's probably some folks that are out there maybe placing themselves in some of these categories. And for those that have said maybe we're at the negative end of the spectrum, or we want to make some changes, maybe just speak a little bit to what are some ways that we can see that culture change?
Well, I think the first thing would be to identify the cause. If the culture is anything less than healthy, to identify the cause that has led to the less than positive or the negative culture. And so does that have to do with how the church has been doing its budgeting, either too conservatively or too aggressively? Does that relate to how the church financial staff have been treating the pastors and other in the church? But go to the cause and identify it. And then if a church has a positive culture, work very hard to maintain it. But if a church has a negative financial management culture, do everything they can to improve that culture.
Excellent. Well, Vonna and Dan, this has been a great conversation so far. I mentioned early in the podcast that we have some exciting changes that are taking place here at ECFA. We're going to take a quick break from this conversation for a special announcement from Tracy on our church engagement team. We're going to come right back to talk about the key areas of financial leadership and practical next steps on growing as leaders.
Well, thanks, Michael. And this discussion today on financial leadership has been so encouraging, it's challenging, and it's super inspiring. ECFA's heart is to come alongside leaders, empowering them to shape high standards of financial integrity in the churches that they serve. Guiding your church through ECFA membership process can do just that. And here's the exciting announcement. Our brand new simplified application is designed to save you time on becoming a certified church member while upholding the same ECFA high standards. Instant help via our new chat line and a one-on-one conversation with an ECFA advisor are just some of the new time-saving tools that will streamline and help guide you through the process of demonstrating ECFA's high standards. And more good news, we've also eliminated the $500 application fee, making it more cost-effective than ever to apply. We invite you to check it out by clicking the Join tab at ecfa.church or reach out to Michael Martin directly at michael@ecfa.org. Now let's go back to Dan, Vonna, and Michael for some more great conversation on financial leadership.
Well, thanks so much, Tracy, and working with so many of our churches through becoming members of ECFA. I can't tell you how excited I am about these changes. I know that with the new simplified membership process, it's never been easier to take the next step towards becoming ECFA certified and enjoying all of those benefits of ECFA membership. So Vonna and Dan, let's pick back up right where we left off in this discussion about financial leadership. Here's another question for you both. What are the areas in a church where financial leadership is needed most?
I think I should just say yes.
All of the above.
It's needed everywhere, but we can start with some specifics. Budgeting, certainly financial leadership is necessary there so that they can align the mission and dollars. I've mentioned that a couple of times on this podcast, but that's important. The dollars need to really be directioned or pointed to where the mission is. Planning, setting aside reserves, that takes some incredible leadership to be able to set dollars aside, not spend them right now, but put them away in reserves. Compliance is another area. And to me, that's comes back to that tone at the top that I was talking about a few minutes ago. And there needs to be a desire to comply with employment law and expense reimbursement requirements and all of those areas that can get us into trouble if we don't do it right. Takes good financial leadership to make sure and put an emphasis on that. Certainly good internal control structures. And then to me, one more area is just making sure that competency is a priority. And I think that comes through in areas of hiring capable people into positions, staffing adequately. Yeah, Dan mentioned a few minutes ago time and how important that is. And I know everyone would love to have more people on their staff, and it's not always feasible. But at the same time, sometimes we have to look at it and make sure that we have put our priorities in the right place and that we do have adequate staffing. And then finally, provide training. And I'm thrilled that there are resources like podcasts and other things that are easy and accessible to people. And I would encourage our churches that they make that a priority. That really is part of financial leadership, too.
And, Vonna, financial management generates sound numbers, and the Lord knows there are a lot of numbers that we generate in churches. But while financial management generates sound numbers, healthy financial leadership make sense of the numbers.
I like that.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm speaking, I'll say, what does the number $80,429 mean? And people won't be quite sure how to answer that question. And finally, I'll help them out by saying it doesn't mean anything without context. And so healthy financial leadership puts numbers in context so they are meaningful. Healthy financial leadership presents the numbers, I believe, without a positive or a negative spin. They put the numbers in the no spin zone. And doing so, boards, financial committees, and the like can make decisions on the numbers without the decisions being predetermined for them.
Well, I think one of the things we've talked about, both financial management and financial leadership, and we're focusing on financial leadership, it takes both. I mean, that's a great point that you just made. We need sound numbers.
Right.
But sound numbers are meaningless if we can't do something with them. So the importance of both is there.
Yeah, this is really kind of a both and conversation, right? Well, let's transition now to what are some really practical ways. At ECFA, we're always all about practical. So not just in theory, but maybe speak to, Dan, what are some really practical ways that folks can grow when it comes to financial leadership?
Well, one of the ways that I think people can grow into financial leadership, and perhaps they're already in that position, is to be acutely aware of trends. You know, we were talking a moment ago about making sense of the numbers, and identifying and communicating trends is one of those ways that we make sense of the numbers. And so, do we have clarity on the trends of giving per giving unit at the church? Are the new people coming to the church giving money faster than the people who are departing the church? Many times we don't focus on that. We just focus on the totals. But what are the trends on total revenue, total expense, perhaps some elements within revenue expense? You know, like giving, what are the trends on payroll? What is the percentage of payroll to our total operating budget? What's the trends on our cash reserves? What's the trends on our temporary restricted giving versus unrestricted giving? Are they getting out of balance with too many gifts coming in the temporary restricted door and not enough gifts coming in the operational door? And so I think being acutely aware of trends is a key factor.
Well, and to me, I'm kind of a nuts and bolts person, and how do we make sure that people learn what they need to? We talked about competency being important a few minutes ago. Trends, how do I become aware of those trends? So to me, some things that people need, practical ways, would be networking with others. There are different ways that you can do that, but there are a lot of people that are in the same boat. And I think, you know, Michael and Dan, you've probably both seen it when you're speaking sometime and someone asks a question and you see 40 other heads nod up and down because they all have the same question. But when they're networking together, then they can answer some of each other's questions. So I think that's important. I think they need to be very aware of changes that are impacting your church. Be proactive about that. You can subscribe to newsletters, take part in webinars, stay in touch with what's happening because it's going to impact your job. And then, I don't know, I'm the new kid on the block, but I think I'd almost be remiss if I didn't say ECFA has some great resources that if you want some practical ways, you know, it comes back to where we started. I love the resources that we have and that we just make those available because we want ministries to be able to grow and be empowered and learn. So there are some neat things out there in Church Excel and other places.
And watching for the monthly edition, a mid-month edition of Church Pulse is a great place to watch for new things that are coming out from ECFA, and as well as, you know, information off Capitol Hill and other things that may affect financial leaders.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, the last question here my confession is I'm batting cleanup. So the last question for you is just as you kind of reflect on this topic of financial leadership, is there anything that we've missed or are there any other questions that maybe we should have covered?
Well, that's tough. That
another
just got
all of
you
the above.
That's a get out of jail free card for you and puts it all on us. I would say the only other thing that I would add to what we've talked about so far is just, you know, where do we start? We've talked about a lot of things, and I think we've been fairly practical. But at the same time, if this has been a lot, you might be thinking, where do we start? You know, if you're in leadership, I think you need to consider the areas of financial leadership that are maybe most difficult in your ministry, because that's going to be different by church. For some places, it's going to be the budgeting side of things. And for many of you, it might actually be the internal control side of it. You maybe haven't thought about it and you need to. You need to step back and think about where some of the weaknesses in the internal controls would be. But whatever area we've talked about today, I would step back and say, what is the most difficult thing for us? And start there, kind of one bite at a time.
And I would just tie on exactly to what Vonna was saying. Assess where you are personally. Assess where your church is with respect to some of these issues, and then step back and say, how can I improve? How can my church improve? And then get started on a track to make those improvements.
That's great. Well, I want to say thank you both. I wish we had unlimited time, but that's one thing we don't have, right, is our unlimited time. So thanks again to you both for these have just been some outstanding insights when it comes to growing in financial leadership. And our regular listeners know that we always like to close out our time together with some encouragement from Scripture that's related to the topic for the day. And in thinking about financial leadership, you know, I realize that this can be another challenging area of church administration, as we've talked about. But the really good news is that the Holy Spirit is here to help us along the way. So my question for you would be, are you depending on His help as you grow in your leadership? The Bible reveals that the Holy Spirit is our helper and leader. You know, if we draw from His direction and leadership, we will be made better leaders and welcome the Lord into the process of really steering our church along the right course financially and otherwise. And we see this illustrated as the Holy Spirit guided the leaders of the early church in their ministry. And if He is the same God today, and we have the same Holy Spirit here to help us as we grow in our leadership and really steward the churches that He has called us to serve. So I pray this time together on the podcast has been encouraging and inspiring to you. If we can do anything here at ECFA to serve you on your journey of financial leadership, please reach out. It's definitely our honor and privilege to come alongside you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and send the podcast link to a friend or even share on social media. And as we've talked about as well today, you can check out more great resources for church leaders right here at our website, ecfa.church. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to being with you again soon for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.